Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
For those of you that are happy, if it makes you happy, this is the final part of this message. Amen. So if you have not been doing your assignment, you need to keep up. Are we online? All right. Jesus is Lord. Father, we ask that tonight you will speak to us. We ask that, O Lord, you would enlighten us in the name of Jesus. Be glorified in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Wow. So, I'm still somewhere in the euphoria of Sunday service. And maybe there are a few people like myself here. Last night, I think somewhere close to 12:30, 1 a.m., you know, it was just a great time, you know, just spending that short time with God and just, but I knew it was still an offshoot from Sunday. And I want to tell you that if God begins to do something in your life, you have a responsibility to stoke the fire. What I mean is, if you don't add firewood, then to that burning fire, it will go out. And this is something that you need to like just have it at the back of your mind. That if you continue adding fire, the flame keeps getting bigger. You know, it might have started with a matchstick, but you now add firewood. And what is that? You know, fuel, kerosene, petrol, worship, praises, just spending time. Sometimes you are just playing a song online that really blesses you, and you are just enjoying it and clapping and worshiping God and speaking in tongues. You are adding firewood. You are adding kerosene. You are adding petrol. You know. You only know the process. You are only part of the process. Once God declares it is time, nobody can control the fire again. So don't give up. For those of you who are part of the service on Sunday, some things are difficult to explain, even when you are watching it online, because you can't see everything. The camera is just in a particular direction, and sometimes the media team, they try to hide some things to punish those who didn't come, amen? And of course, I think some of you have seen now that we need more ushers. So, if you are not serving, you can join the protocol team and you can see me or see Sunday, amen? Or Pastor Kwe. Why did I just mention that? Divine order is required to maintain revival. Have you ever heard pastors or people who preached maybe somewhere and they said, I don't want to have an organized church so that the Holy Spirit will be free to move? Something like that. Huh? They say that because they have seen what being organized can do to the move of God. But I'm here to tell you that the first law of heaven is order. Which means there's a way you can order your steps before, you see, order your steps before the Lord. It's in the scriptures. You order your steps. There's a way you prepare yourself. God cannot say no. Sometimes the people that you say, this man, anytime he preaches, or this woman, she's always talking about divine encounters, is because of the way they have ordered their steps. You prepare your room, your environment, to be habitable. So when you clean your room, you are not cleaning it for yourself, because you know God lives there. You won't just soak your clothes for 1 week, because there's nobody to come and check. Now, the Holy Spirit can't even go to your bathroom to pick anything, because that place is blessed with all kinds of odoriferous anointings. Amen. So go home, amen, if you're in that condition, before you sleep this night, go and clean. Go and clean everywhere. God knows your address, amen. I'm just trying to tell you that some of the things we think are not really important, God is looking at them. Because divine order doesn't limit the glory of God. It enhances it. There's a way I order my steps before the Lord. It will not limit what God wants to do. Orderliness is only a problem in the hands of a carnal man. Orderliness, divine order. Orderliness is only a problem in the hands of a carnal man. For instance, last Sunday, the easiest thing we could have done is that the choir had 15 minutes. Once they were done, in some churches, no matter the angel that is coming down, the next pastor will say, "In Jesus' name we have praised. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, choir." That's it. It's over. So, the pastor is important, but it's not as important. When God comes to town, the pastor must line up. Or all the pastors, everybody in the church must line up. You can't say, because the pastor has this. I didn't preach second service. Like, once you see the commander, Major, Colonel, what's your rank again? Lieutenant, all of you line up. Forget about the order of the meeting. Opening prayer, offering, Sunday school. Forget about that one. The king is here. Amen. And you look at some of these seven churches. If you really, really look at them, at the root of their problem is that they had no regard for God. Even though we use different words, the real issue is that they were running churches without the fear of the Lord. So let's read. I'm just telling you this is just from Sunday anyway, because some of you have forgotten that God came here on Sunday. You are thinking, okay, maybe he will still come again on Sunday. He will come, but he may come in another way. So please, if you create the room, if you bring firewood, if you can get some kerosene, the revival will not end. So we need to know how these things work. And what is one of the main requirements for revival? Number one is repentance. Number two is that we must be restored. Number three is that we must have yielded hearts. A heart that is not yielded to God cannot be used by God in a certain way. And that's the difference between between King Saul and David. The only thing King Saul knew about God was that he was chosen to be king. He knew the anointing. He didn't have a relationship with God. But David was close to God, and the issue of being a king was never on the table. It was not a conversation. It was later God said, you are here. Come and be the king. It wasn't a prayer point. I want you to know your highest purpose in God is not actually a prayer point. It has already been determined by God. And the condition is a functional relationship with God. So when you come out of a meeting like the one we had on Sunday, don't just come out of it. Go deeper into it. Let's read from Revelation chapter 3, and verse 14, all the way down. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write. Glory to God. This thing saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Look at this. Because thou sayest, I am rich. Now they are going into how they, that's their status of not being cold or they want to tell us how they got there. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Recommendation. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment. See, you also buy white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love. I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous thereof, therefore, and repent. See, the people God was asking to repent were Christians. So, when we say repent, you think of unbelievers. This book is for Christians. This book of Revelations. I see how many times they've talked chapter between chapter 1 and 3. The person who saw the vision even fell out. They had to resurrect him. He fell down as dead in chapter 1. Because they need him to take the message back. See, between chapter 2 and 3, how many times he has said repent? He said repent. For behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. And I am sat down, I'm set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In those days when I was way back, in the CAC church, there was something that used to happen when somebody would, a prophet in the church, maybe after praise worship or during a moment of prayer, the Spirit of God would come upon him and he would prophesy. And it usually they would start with something like, Bai lemi oluwawi. This is what the Spirit of God is saying. The next statement out of his mouth is from God. Do you know that way back in those days, even if you are an usher or a pastor or somebody, maybe you are someone important in the church, the few times I've seen those things, maybe while we were just about to land, or the person would just reel out in tongues. And everybody in the church knew the prophets in the church. So once you hear a particular brother that is in that group, once he releases that tongue, the thing will rise above everybody. There's no microphone with him. His voice will rise. And when he's done, you know, speaking in tongues, you will hear, this is what the Spirit of God is saying. You know the next thing that's going to happen? Pastor, master, head protocol, resident pastor, children, everybody freeze. Wherever you are, when that utterance comes out, you stand there, stop there. Do you know that in some of our churches in those days, when we are praying, nobody comes in? Which of our churches do we? African churches, Anglican. I went to a church in Ibadan, Pentecostal church. And that church, somewhere close to, I won't mention the name of the church, but close to, not too far from Ibadan Poli. Anytime I'm in Ibadan, I visit the church by Pastor Luby Johnson. Yeah. They did not ask whether, sorry, are you a first timer? First timers here, you know. It was from Pastor Luby Johnson. I learned how to pray. In Jesus' name, I have life. In those days, when church started, that's how we used to pray. In Jesus' name, I have life. Then you start making your confession. Even I think one of our confessions before this last one, so that's how we are taught to pray. The moment they take a particular song, there's a particular worship song they take there. Once they take it, the ushers will put a barrier at the door. In some churches, you will hear songs like, holy, holy, holy. Once you hear holy, holy, all of you that are outside, stay there. Let those who are holy stay inside. Or in some other Yoruba churches, apologies to those of you who don't understand, right? You'll be hearing songs like, and we, in those days, we used to have these local drums. You'll be hearing. When you hear that thing, the next thing you hear is, me more, me more, me more. Oju ele she koleri ogore. You know the meaning of that song? Mama, you sabi the meaning of that song? That song means that when you say Mimo means holy. Say the eyes of what? Of a sinner cannot behold your glory. When you hear that song, you see the way people be running like crazy from the car park. Because before you get to the door is locked. And church was holy because of the type of songs they were singing. You just say, you think they are joking. No keyboard though. Somebody will just take this talking drum. You'll be afraid. Like, is there a spirit inside that place? There's an awesomeness. And some of our old churches, the ones our parents, they still know that thing. So if you go to those churches, whether you're a first timer, second timer, whatever, once they close that door, you will stand outside for the next 10 minutes until they are done. I think Cali Church also does it, I think. Then they open the door and you come in. Again, I submit to you that at the root of all the churches that had problems in the book of Revelation was that they didn't know who God really was. And they had no regard for divine things. And because of that, by the time God started walking out of the church, they didn't know. They didn't know. When the Spirit comes upon you, it can come in with a lot of noise. But when he's going, the Bible says Samson did not know that the Holy Spirit had left him. So this church of Laodicea is also in Turkey. And that this Laodicean church, another word for this church is spiritual lukewarmness. If you want to summarize the story of the Laodicean church, what is it? Spiritual. So you can't make a bar without water. You can't drink cold gari. You just want to enjoy gari and apologies to those in America. You can't know this one. But The water is just there. Huh? You really can't do so much. Except the doctor told you, don't drink cold water. Out of anger, you take it like that. So lukewarmness is what people settle for when God has worked away. Huh? You try to convince yourself that after all, the choir sings well. Listen to me. The choir should never be the reason why you choose the church you attend. It is the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord. When you come into the church, do you actually perceive that God is actually in this house? You know, those are things that, you know, is your life actually changing? Can you see the hand of God upon your life that, Sasai coming, this area. This particular church was extremely lukewarm. And that's why Jesus started by introducing himself. In a way, he didn't introduce himself to the other churches. And he said, I am the Amen. It's not a prayer. It is his name. I am the Amen. I am the one with the seal of authority. Amen means so be it. Amen means it is so. Amen is a spiritual stamp. When you call upon God and he's pleased with you, amen. It is not only you who says amen. When you pray, the spiritual realm will also go to God and say, he should say yes, amen. So amen is a stamp. What is he saying? I am the amen. I am the one who approves all things. I am the one who determines who is walking in my counsels or who has deviated from my counsel. I am the one who has the final say. I am the one who justifies. I am the one who will vet your work. I am the Amen. And this statement alone, we could stay here alone and for tonight I will be fine, because what you just heard will release you from serving the Lord because you are compelled. You don't need to be compelled that, maybe if I don't come to church, people will notice. No. Look at him. He said, I'm the Amen. If God is pleased with your life, he will not ask for your pastor's permission before he blesses you. Who was David's pastor? Samuel. But Samuel was at Shiloh. David was running up and down in the forest. And yet the God of Samuel protected David. Are you with me? There are people that are in this church, they're relocated abroad in the UK and all, and I'm still their pastor. I still get messages every day saying, Pastor, thank you. Because when you leave Nigeria, the way some of us left our location, moved to Abuja, without first praying through and defeating the territorial spirit in that area. How many of you have ever, let me just say this, how many of you have ever moved to an area and you started becoming very lustful? You started experiencing lust, like a new area. Okay, thank you, Ayo. You know, who else has experienced that? Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you, Pastor. You just get to an area like, you just like, Omo. Like this, we go just the look. Port-a-cord. That's how it starts. And you may think that it is nothing. My friend, who is a pastor, a sound teacher of the word. But he attends a church where they don't believe in deliverance. We've got the life of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it's true. So they didn't teach him warfare. He now traveled to Port Harcourt to work. He was there for a while. By the time we went to carry him, threesomes, etc. Threesome, etc. It was that bad. He started drinking. Started going to the club. You know, there's something about Christian community that protects you. Look, let me tell you. If your pastor says he's going for missionary work in Poland, you now say, ah, thank God, God is expanding us. You better be calling him. Every day, make sure you bombard him with call. Pastor, how are you? Ask your pastor, let's pray. Pastor, pray. If you notice that the way he's praying, Father, Jesus, we thank you. Ah, Pastor, this is not how you used to pray. Oh, is it the cold? No. Pastor, let me pray. Let me pray for you. Fuck, Pastor, please, what's the problem? How's your spiritual life? There's one girl that lives in the next flat that has no knowledge of God. Anytime the pastor comes out to throw out the trash, the girl is also coming out. The pastor's fire is going out. The weather is not helping. Say he went to Poland. And you are not calling him. You have to call him every day. Why are you calling me? It's 3 a.m. in the morning. Pastor, how are you? Leave that one. How are you? Where are you? Pastor, do video. I want to see where you are. You can easily lose your fire when you change location. People don't know. Say, I know where I'm in Christ. Okay, I hope so. I hope so. Because my own friend, we went to carry him. By the time we carried him, there was a child already. One of the things that can easily expose a Christian to spiritual lukewarmness is when you become satisfied with making excuses. You have become very good at making excuses on why you cannot be available. The way God has structured the body of Christ is that we must be accountable to each other. That is the only way we will get to the finish line. You don't get to the finish line by the anointing. You get to the finish line by accountability. Come on, are you here? Yes. There was a man that was very anointed. Very anointed. William Branham. Eventually, we had to go and carry him because his anointing was only able to take him thus far. God had to end his life to save him so that he would not go to hell. Jesus also introduced himself as the faithful and true witness. The word witness in the scripture, as used in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, is the same word for martyr or martyr, someone that is killed for the sake or the cause of the kingdom or of Christ. What we call martyr, Christian martyr. But it is also, that word also means witness, like in the court. When they take you to the court and ask you, did you see what happened? Tell us. You are an eyewitness. So Jesus is speaking here and saying to us that, look, Laodicea, I am the faithful. He didn't say there are two of them. He said, I am the faithful. You see the word? The faithful and true witness. The beginning of the creation of God. Now, I look at one of the things that excites me when I read these stories from Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 is the kind of vocabulary they use in heaven. They don't talk like casual people. Can you see Jesus the way he introduced himself? Now, if you go back to Exodus, is it 33? Where was that scripture where God appeared and showed his glory to Moses? Somewhere around 33 or thereabout. You will see that when God's glory came down, what did he do? The scripture said he used one hand to cover Moses. Then he started proclaiming, he started talking to himself. I am the Lord, the merciful. I cover sins unto the tenth year. He started talking. Like, sir, you are young man. He started, it's as if there's something about that economy. They must chant. They must chant. They talk. Look at the presence of God. Look at it. He surrounded himself with cherubims and seraphims, and they are all talking. Holy, holy, holy. There are utterances. If for whatever reason God cannot hear you, you are not in the same frequency. That's why you want to worship God. You can't be casual. This casual Christianity, is what will be our undoing. If you are not ready to worship, you know, way back, sir, way back when we were younger, I didn't know then. You know, the church where I grew up, they encouraged all the children to learn one instrument. I learned the drums. I didn't learn the drums. It was something I picked up naturally. But they trained me. I wanted to learn the piano, but I didn't succeed. I didn't get to start. But it's something that is something somewhere in my head. I just keep thinking, if I'm done with Unilag, I'll go to a music school and probably learn to play the semi-acoustic. Because there are some things that I want to sing, but I can't sing it. If I have to wait for the, you know, there's a way the thing is coming, and it's from heart to finger. Huh? From heart to finger. There is a way when you have learned the economy and an heavenly environment, you can stand before people and there's no keyboard and there's no nothing and it's just a fellowship and just say, let us worship God. People are looking at, worship God, what do we do? I just close your eyes. You are the Lord God Almighty. The moment you start like that, you see, the experience you have been having, God, that atmosphere will be transferred to your location. Which is why you can't speak careless words. Because everywhere God showed up, he spoke. Look, he came, he covered Moses. And as he was speaking, the glory was coming around Moses. There is something about when your voice becomes known in God's presence. When you talk, it commands certain things. At a certain level, your presence in a place commands certain things. You cannot be casual. That is the sin of the Laodicean church. They are casual. They didn't decide to be sinful. We can use wisdom. That's how we start. We use wisdom for the first thing, second thing, third thing. After I just carry the Bible, throw it away, say, continue to use wisdom. Till Jesus came and said, what are people doing here? Is this a mosque? Say, no, it's a church. Listen to me. I don't care if you did not go to school. I don't care if you cannot write. If you make up your mind today that your life will be an expression of genuine worship to God, that you want God to take over your vessel, you will have an experience. Yes. Yes, you will have an experience. When it gets to a level, the angels will start coming. After a while, God will show up. You may be singing your local song, the ones that other people sing on this thing, and they do cruise with it. You will just, it's the song you heard your mother singing anytime you guys were doing that boring morning devotional. You remember that boring morning devotional? All of you will be half asleep while they are praying. Some of you remember, right? That's why you are still a Christian. That boring devotional is why you are still a Christian. But now you know the Bible more than your mother. But what were the songs our parents were singing? Ope ye o baba. Ope ye o. Sometimes while they are doing, you see your mom in the parlor, she will start dancing, right? You people are saying because you know when mommy starts like that devotional will not end in time. And if your dad wants to make it worse, he will not take his sheker. Your dad may wear his Yoruba, that lace. You remember that lace? That old lace. Ashore kari aye. Her children dance now. How many of you did your parents complain that you are not? It seems that thing has been this. See, let me tell you, the things of the spirit are not hard, though. You are the one looking for a slay queen with touch of Dalinzek. Do you understand? The things of God are not hard, though. A sincere and genuine heart. that wants to know God. Eh? Such that you can become so foolish at it. If your friend, who is a slave queen, decides to spend the weekend at your house, oh my God, she's in trouble. Because you will not spare her. You understand? That's your, that Igbo song your mother used to sing. You, that day you remember it. You won't sing all this English song. You will sing the local one. And as you are singing it, it's like a shrine in that place. Why would God say that David is a man after? What do you think? Do you think God is talking about his kingship or his personal relationship? Why do you think God was willing to give David a second chance? Meanwhile, David committed worse crimes than Saul. Who told you there's no partiality? Order your steps before the Lord. Put up that scripture. Next verse. Look at what Jesus said. He said, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. Now, please stay here for a while. I want to tell you that before Jesus, our Lord, begins to make an open statement like this, he has tried his best to send prophetic correction. Jesus will never embarrass any of his children. Like you fornicated yesterday. He will not talk about it today. The only reason why he will talk about it, maybe like 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, when you refuse to repent. In fact, the Spirit of God, through Paul, told us that even when we are trying to restore somebody that has fallen, we have to do it in the spirit of meekness, knowing that even in that moment you are trying, you may also be tempted. And I have first-hand experience of what I just said. There was a time a couple came to see me. They had marital issues. They've been married for years. Yes. Their marriage was even older than us. But they had issues. Husband came, wife came. So I was trying to talk to the wife to find out what the real situation was. And after that session, I laid on the floor tired. On the floor, tired that, okay. Our husband is in this room, this next room. We were here in the parlor. It was God that saved me. I just opened one eye. The angels did not let my enemies overpower me. I saw somebody trying to sit on top of my head. It was the person I just finished counseling with. Astaga. He said, I'm sorry. Canceling over. Now, I am not here to tell you I was righteous. Because after that day, I now started struggling. You see that? 5 seconds. Huh? 5 seconds of contact. If I sound to pray like this, I'll be seeing visions, but it's not of God. Tisha canceling, Darren. We are now in trouble. The best way to destroy a soul tie is not to say, Amaka, let's talk about it. Talk about what? You are an idiot. You have soul tie with Amaka. You want to talk about it with Amaka. Huh? Don't you know that when there are soul ties, it's like you have a rope tying two people together. And as long as you are close to each other, if you can hear her voice, or she can hear your voice, and you can look into, because that time, Amaka wants you to look into my eyes and tell me you don't love me. When she starts saying those things, any eye contact, audio contact, will be
It's like strengthening that cord, pulling that rope, making it very tight. Sometimes you would think that you need to see Amaka. No, sometimes it's on the phone. You called her that morning to say, I have repented. One spirit said, just call her, say good morning. Then they tighten the rope again. So when you find yourself in that situation, even if you see me trying to preach and say, begin to bless the Lord, hallelujah, run to the altar and say, ah, they don't catch me. Oh, disrupt the service. Make una help me. Make una help me. In Papa Jasko's voice. Make una help me. Pastor, make una help me. Don't say, we know what we know. You Amaka. I think there's one song about what Amaka. Mama Kamsi. I don't forget. That's Mama Kamsi's name. I beg, don't be you and they talk about. I beg. Linda. I mean, I know we are talking about. I'm telling you that everybody is a potential risk. Huh? It's a potential risk. In fact, I got to tell you, you may not know. Let me tell you. Hugging your pastor after preaching is not advisable. But I'll leave it there. Huh? The Lord will give you understanding. See, the day Pastor Kumi will come to this church, he will shake my hand. Ah! You're my son. It's like I'm hearing my message. I say, yes, sir. We'll clean everywhere to very clean. We'll wash it. Because the Holy Spirit will enter your heart. You see all these things, dress, because the Holy Spirit is not in your heart. When he enters, nobody will be there with you. He will be asking you, who told you to wear what you are wearing? He will be asking you. You are seeing in the wardrobe, he will be telling you this thing. There's nothing wrong with the clothes. You say, take it off. People don't know that the Holy Spirit is not your friend. It's your teacher. You know the way teachers behave in the class. Jesus said, he will teach you. This is the way we do things here. It's not for you to give God wipe. You and who is mate here? There's some man that say, Cicero, this is the voice of a God. It's not the voice of a man. The angel just slapped him. Bam. They packed his body. It was rotting. You give God wiper with that dirty handkerchief and a dirty hat. Say, you know, we are from Niger Delta. We have to shake it. Oga, I didn't warn you. You go wundo. Put up that scripture. See, when it has to do with being cold or hot, you are talking about two extreme things. The water starts initially from the middle, it's neutral, lukewarm. God says, I have observed you. You have always been in this state. Let me tell you something. I don't know who I was talking to a few days ago. And I said to them, I know I mentioned it to the pastor that came on Sunday, Pastor Jesu Tofumi. You know, he made a statement while he was in my office. He said when he was misbehaving. He said his mother did not. They say your son went to fight someone. He said, leave him. They say your son is smoking weed. He said, leave him. Mama, won't you do something? He said, when he now became a pastor, his mom now called him. When you are doing all those things, do you know why I never said anything? Say why? Say from the first day, before you knew yourself, I gave you to Jesus. I gave you to Jesus. There was nothing the devil could do. You are not in the devil's hands. All that one, you are just acting. So what? Such conviction, sir. Such conviction. The boy has failed again. Oh, the boy beat somebody. The person fainted. Say, leave him. They saw him under the tree at Oshodi. He was smoking a colo. Say, leave him. Won't you talk to him? I say, mother. Leave him. She said, all of you, all the children, you cannot be wayward. Say you cannot, and I don't need to pursue you. From the first day I heard God about you, and I gave you to him. I didn't give you to Satan. So all this one, you and Satan, you are just acting. I say, my God. Such conviction. She's not, that's what it means to be hot. Not move. Hey, any small thing you move, start crying. There's nothing wrong with crying. But after you, David must encourage himself in the Lord. But you have been crying for 7 days. Two extreme situations. And God says, no, this kingdom does not make provision for neutrality. You must choose one. Do you want to be on fire for God? Or do you want to be backsliding? Choose one. Because when we want to pass our judgment, we are not too sure. Because sometimes it looks like you are warm. But it's not your heat. It's the heat of the sun that is making you look like you are hot. But you are not hot. Sometimes we want to do something. You say, she's cold. But it's not that you are really cold. It's just that the weather that day is cold. I was going for a meeting this afternoon. And then around 11 a.m., the weather just changed. Just change small. You know, I sat on the floor. I told my wife, I said, there's no pillow in this parlor. I said, I just want to rest my head. Like, just rest my head. This meeting, why do I have to go for this meeting? Why do I have to go for this meeting? Why do I have to go? The sleep I've been looking for 3 days. There was no pillow. Sleep never catch you. There was no pill. I slept like I was to put one leg on this place. I slept. It was someone's call that woke me up. See, I was looking. You know when your phone is ringing, you can't even pick. Have you been there before? You just woke up. I asked my wife, did I sleep? That's how bad the situation was. I asked my wife, she was, did I sleep? Say, Samson, your enemies are upon you. Did I sleep? Say, yes, you slept. I say, wow. Wash my face. Wore my shirt. Got into the car. Headed for the meeting. When I got there, people were still waiting for the meeting to start. I say, thank God I slept. When people come close to you, what do they feel? Heat or cold? You may be lying to yourself, but I want you to imagine your influence around people. You will know exactly your status, whether you are among the in the hot zone or cold region. Yes. Jesus said, I would have preferred that you are even one. Now, that statement is not a license. So there are at least two times that Jesus spoke about fruitfulness in the Bible, and I'm going to teach about this again, after this says that Jesus talked about trees, T-R-E-E-S. The first one, when he was hungry, he wanted to get fruit from a tree. He went to the tree as the creator, not as a customer, and he did not find any fruit. And Jesus said, this is an anomaly. And he cursed the tree. Please, because sometimes people just want to paint a very good Jesus. Jesus is the most wonderful person. But I want you to know, Jesus cursed that tree. Sir, I don't know, left to me, I don't know the offense of the tree, except that the tree is barren. But Jesus sent a very strong message to everybody that the heavens reject barrenness. They cannot stand it. Even in the Old Testament, it was written, say, none shall be barren in the land. That's how serious the matter is. So when you are still saying, God, will I marry? God is telling you, you will not be barren. He's not talking about your marriage. He's talking about you having children. The heavens have bore barrenness. They don't like it. Jesus came to a tree and he said, cursed it. Thing died. The second time was a parable. Jesus said, this tree, after so many years, no fruit, cut it down. Are you seeing the character of God? God will give you time. If you count his patience as slackness, you'll be in trouble. The time is given for you to repent and become useful to him. You are saying, nothing do you because of Shayo. Nothing do you. Shayo. One day is going to come. Say, whose tree is this? Say, cut it down. That day, it will be one. It was the pastor. Are you here? The person that God told, take care of this garden. Say, please, I beg. Say, no. He is using up the resources. We need to give this space to something else. We have put our anointing here. We have put our grace here. We have blessed him financially. We have blessed his wife. We have blessed his... We have everything around, he said, but no fruit. Isn't it amazing that when people start doing well, that's when they think that they can't show up in church again. That's when they can book early morning flight. Said, I would have preferred that you are either hot or cold. There are some games we play with God. We are going to stop it today. Can do it with your bubble. Do it with your husband. Don't bring it near God. God knows they play. He's a very old person. And he respects himself. Don't try it. He said to the froward, I will be froward. Abby, what else did he say? To the faithful. So please, that was the statement God made when he wanted to sack and destroy Eli. Eli was his servant. He had given them time. Time! There is nobody God. When you see God coming out in his anger, and you say, why now? God has given that person time. There's nobody that will stand before God and say, nothing. Yeah, no, we gave you time. And you know. The same way, when you are doing well, he will be giving you grace. Giving you grace for more. That pastor, that shepherd, he started begging. Intercession. Prayer. Appealing. This time around, Jesus reneged and said, I will give him one more year. Which means, the responsibility for fruitfulness is no longer on God, it's on me. That person, that life that was being put in that parable, it was not the environment. It was not the soil. It was not whatever was going on in his office that made him lukewarm. Because when you are lukewarm, you cannot be fruitful. A lukewarm Christian can never be fruitful. Most unfruitfulness in people's life is as a result of lukewarmness. That's why when Satan comes after you, sometimes you can't really resist. I went to Ikorodu. I was coming from just after somewhere. It's a border town, way into Ikorodu, border town, Ogijo, between Ogun State and Lagos. As I was coming back, I was taking a bus from the garage to come back into the town. And I saw occultic women with these, their shrine pots, clay pots. They wore their occultic regalia and they came into the market. Meanwhile, they find trouble before. The only good thing about me is this, my face. That's the only good thing. Because some of you just see me, you think, this person is a responsible person until it's time to fight. Ask my wife, even when we got married, if I see people fight on road, I used to park. See, what is wrong with you? I like boxing. WrestleMania 1, WrestleMania 2, WrestleMania 3. Some of you don't know all those things, but no problem. Those of us who are faithful followers, Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, They are here. Shall you see? I know how to know where they are. I will just mention something, they will respond. These occult people, these occult women. And you see, when women are in the occult, they are very strong. It's not like all these men that are just looking for ram and three e-goats. These women carry their clay pot. Ah! See the way people are just bringing money. I don't know what they were celebrating. I just sat in. I was the one sitting in front. I just did like this. The woman came to me. Say, give me money. I say, you as what? I said, don't you have anything you do? Do you have a regular job? I was talking to her in Yoruba. Hey, Onisha, like, you don't have things you do. Say, we are doing our festival of this. Anybody that we are powerful people, we are witches. I said, okay, yeah. Say, yeah, I wish. Do you know what I am? Just be disturbing the peace of the community. Say, I should give. I say, if I pray for you, I say, if I give you money, that money will be the end of you. I say, and I love you. I know you have children. I don't want your children to be orphans. So, say, you still give me money. I said, you still don't. Say, okay, you can pray for me. I also pray. I say, if I pray for you, it will be a problem for you. My prayer will be a problem for you. But you know, in broad daylight, these women were hot. They were the ones Jesus would say, they are hot, not cold. They had their faces marked. You see that these are occultists. They didn't come in the night. They came out in broad daylight. And everybody stood, no area boy. Stop them. I was the one who now heard them to ransom. I said, don't come here again. I say, madam, come. Mama, come. Are you very old? I say, you know, at your age now, there are people like you in hell. I told her. I said, you need to give your life to Christ. I said, the way you are now, if you die, it's hellfire straight. She said, their religion is about peace. I say, calm down. Good people go to hell. I say, come. Do you know who Jesus is? I was preaching to somebody with occultic regalia. You know what normally happens to me is that when I see those things, it's like something will come on me. When they now go out, I say, Binga, Binga, don't you mind your business? It's like something, it's like some kind of, I would all become emboldened. The woman left, he ran away, called their colleagues, they went away, said, listen. I say, I know when I go, they will come back. But while I'm here, nobody in this bus will give you one naira. You can't do that if you don't have fire. Because you know what happens? The moment you confront it, they will start scanning you. They will scan you. If they determine that there's no fire here, this one has no one claiming him, they'll just put something in your body. You'll go home and start dealing with it. You cannot afford to be cold. The price is too much. The price for spiritual coldness is too much. You can't pay it. Spiritual coldness in your devotion, spiritual coldness in terms of not being able to walk in power. Spiritual coldness in terms of not being able to assess the things of the spirit. You see, the thing about prayer, and that is why when you see someone on Facebook or somewhere on Instagram saying it's not about prayer, people need to know that the way we access divine resources is through prayer. Because prayer is your registration for commitment. It might have been given to you, but for whatever reason, Jesus said, pray without ceasing. Paul said it. Jesus said it. Jesus prayed all through the night. And I looked at all the people I know who have problems. They always have a doctrine against prayer. How do you measure that you are getting cold if there is no parameter for judgment? If there is no way to determine that, when I see this, 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 and this, I am getting cold. If I'm doing this, 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 and this, I am hot. If there's no measurement scale, how do we know? You may be in front of your computer and you are just working, pa 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 pa, and you, a song just maybe pops up on one system and you just say, "We lift you," and you forgot that you are typing. You raise your hand and you started worshiping. Has it ever happened to you before? Like, you just like, sometimes you might be watching a movie. Oh. The song just plays one of the computers in the house. Like, your spirit just responds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 2 minutes. You are just connecting. Some people, even if Domwe comes. They will not move. How, when there is a call to worship, do you respond? We are talking about the parameters for determining spiritual hotness or coldness. Do you know that there's usually a summon to pray in the spirit? And you've been hearing it, but that's when your sleep becomes more intense. How you will know that it's God you are hearing is that you will wake up, the breeze will just blow like that. You know, you've been battling to, looking for how to sleep. That sleep, that moment, it will just, like cold water, it just, you are gone. When you hear, do you still hear the call to worship, the call to prayer? When God begins to beckon to you, are you excited? Do you feel that it is a moment of encounter for you? A moment alone with you and God? Do you feel that God is boring? Are you still one of those who feel we need to make Christianity interesting? Excuse me. Did you hear the name of our God? The Ancient of Days. It's an old school. You see the way this house is, leave it like that. That's the way we want it. What are the parameters? When you hear the call to worship, is there joy in your heart? David said, "I rejoice at your word as one that finds great joy." When I study the word, when I hear the word of God that has been preached, even if it is pricking me, am I embracing it? Am I excited? There's a church I went to in the north. Before they preach the message, you just hear, "Now we come unto your word, we have..." You will just hear, it's like a cry, it's like a summon. As they sing that song, all the arts will begin to come together. That message will be 3 hours old. But once the pastor can say, "Now we come unto your word, we have come, speak your word, let Jesus be glory." That song is 30 minutes old. They will sing it for 30 minutes. Collect everybody's heart. Collect everybody's heart. Then you now hear, in John chapter 6, the word of God states clearly. The message has started. No opening prayer again. We have 3 hours. And when they finish, you now see them. They break into a frenzy. Begin to rejoice. Begin to praise God. Meanwhile, you all your own experience. Septum. After you finish reading your litany. A cold pastor, cold members, cold chairs, cold instrumentalists, cold organists, cold everybody. Benny went to one church. They were all Catholics. It's a Catholic church. But they like him. Catholics like Benny, so they invited him. As holy as... I said, God has not touched you. That's why you are calm. Even if God touches you, you cannot sit in one place. God touched you, you are calm. Yeah? God touched you, you are calm. Jeremiah said, "I could not hold it. It was like fire in my bones." See sisters wearing hijab. Sorry, what's that thing they wear? They wearing their attire. Katelebaka zatekata. Yeah? Come, Holy Spirit. That's all Benny was doing, though. Pa, they kataye, they were off getting filled with the Holy Ghost. It's not, it's because you are not serious. You say, me, no matter who lay hand on me, I cannot fall. I joined the host of heaven to laugh at you. So this is how I normally stand. There was one church. This is how the brother stood. So the pastor knew what he was doing. Like this one. He said that the way he's other part for it, the boy just did like. He did as if he was praying. It's a lie. Pastor, so he saw the pastor come, lay hands on the first man, second, it was the third man. Pastor did not touch, pastor left him. He was singing, went to lay on other people. He did not know when pastor came back. Pastor, maybe it was the shock, or maybe it was the Holy Spirit, we don't know, but the brother fell. Say, you must fall. You must fall. I have seen you. You did your leg like this. You must fall. Pastor just leave. I set trap for her. Went to be praised. Thought pastor has gone. Pastor just came by. Just pushed the guy. Whether the guy fall through, whether the Holy Spirit, the guy, they say falling. Put up that scripture. Next verse. Let's round up. You must understand the things to look for. When your love for spiritual things are, go to the next verse. When the love for spiritual things are no more, there are things like studying the word, fellowship with the brethren, living a holy life, loving the things of the spirit, having a robust and healthy prayer life. When those things are no longer there, there are red flags. You are getting cold. Put up the scripture quickly. Any challenge? Okay. Okay. They don't like my message. Look at the judgment that was prescribed for lukewarm Christians. And please, peradventure, you don't believe me, you can check this in your own Bible. Even if it's the apocryphal version, open it. Or better translation. Jesus said, anyone that is lukewarm, even if your father is a pastor, even if your father and your mother built a church for Jesus, if you, that means this is a personal judgment, are lukewarm, I will spew you out of your mouth. What does that mean? Because the authority, oh my goodness, because the authority of the Christian faith, the authority of the throne room is in the tongue. The scripture says that the words were framed by the word of God. That anytime God speaks about the mouth, he's speaking about authority and dominion. Which means this kind of Christians will be in church, but their lives will be without authority. Their lives will be without power. Their lives will be without dominion. They will not be able to deal with certain spiritual attacks because they are no more within the terrain where the spoken word can effectively administer judgment. With the lips, the judge will rule. With the lips, creation is brought into existence. Everything that operates, the function of a pen in the natural realm is what the tongue does in the spiritual realm. Say, my tongue that has prepared like the pen of a ready writer. So you must understand that when the scripture began to speak about, I will spill you out of my mouth, what he was telling is that your life will be without divine authority. And then you can easily become very hateful because you will begin to question all these people that say God is doing. How do we know it's God? You become very offended at God. You become very offensive. And sometimes you say, I only believe in this. I only believe in that. Because it's not your experience. I was ministering to a particular brother who grew up in an Orthodox church where they don't believe in the gift of the Holy Spirit. But I had led him to Christ. And then one day he sent for me. He said, this speaking in tongues, is it real? He said, yes. I said, yes. He said, I've been praying, but I did not receive it. So pastor prayed for me. I did not receive it. By the time he called all the people that me I'm afraid of, he said they prayed for him. He did not speak in tongues. I said, these are the people that are pushing me forward. You said they can't help you. So I cannot help you. He said, but I believe in you. He said, what can you do? I said, okay. This one laid hands on you, Abby. This one laid, I said, I will not lay hands on you. Let's kneel down. It sounds like Archbishop without Sabi. Let's participate. I said, let's kneel down. So we knelt down together. And I asked myself, I said, talk. We have knelt down, what next? Because the only thing I could hear is, so pastor prayed for me. You know, those some people, they, you know, you need help. You now come to me, you are mentioning, I went to MFM camp. I went to, if you've gone to all these places, why are you going there? I can't help you. I can't help you. You went to MFM. Ah. There's no solution to your problem. You went to redeem. So once more, they say, Pastor Adeboye later. I say, Pastor Adeboye, I cannot help you. Go to God direct. Collect direct entry form. So I told the bride, I said, let's go on our knees. So we knelt down. I said, Father, let's thank him. Let's thank him. And I said, and I said, okay, let me pray. Let me pray. Sincerely, sir, I did not, you know, I don't even know why I got myself involved in that case. Because somebody told you that Pastor Lukoya, Pastor Adeboye, and big Bishop Oyedepo, that they lay down and they are still sick. Why are you wasting your time? Maybe God wants you to die now. Yes, sir. Is it not better to go to heaven and end all this suffering? Mother's Day. How many Mother's Day in a year? And all those Mother's Day, it is the men that will drop money. Father's Day. Hello. Okay, wait. At least, if I'm not an apostle to others, I'm an apostle to those of you here. Okay, Father's Day. How many, forget about the Father, the Holy Spirit scattered this church on Sunday. How many of you even remembered to put up the picture of your natural parents and spiritual parents? I didn't see it. I'm here to tell you I did not see it. If you use my picture, I did not see it. That Father's Day, sir, now we still drop money. So I came to tell you men, if you are coming back to this world, just come back as a woman because... Chai! Oh, wow. This one that's off my head. Please put on that scripture. You want to avoid this status. Because the moment Jesus says, I will, it means a decision has been made. This is not a divine decision that was made because God hates you. It's because you have been given time and you didn't do anything with time. Let me tell you something today, and I want you to write it down. When God gives you more time, it is called grace. Grace is the allocation of extra time. Sometimes when you are praying for a miracle, what you are actually talking about is, God, give me time. Samson said to God, he said, give me one more chance to release vengeance upon the Philistines. God granted him a last opportunity, but God did not extend his life. Can you see? You want to, okay, you are ready to do my will, Abby, but this is the final bus stop. And he said it's okay. What he could not achieve with two eyes, he did it as a blind man, but he also died. The mistake that most people did not know, because many times your prophecy is in front of you, but you are not aware, is that even from the prophecy that was given concerning Samson, it was stated that Samson will die in his beginning. Yes. Go ahead in the scripture. That prophecy that came, they said, and he shall begin to deliver the Israelites from the Philistines. He shall begin. So he brought the deliverance, but he didn't see it. If Daniel was humble enough to allow his parents, you know, the parents were the ones the angel appear to. But sometimes when you become very anointed, nobody can talk to you again. That was the problem Samson had. When he wanted to get one girlfriend, one stiletto girl from Las Vegas, they called him, they warned him. He said, no, this is it's my speck. The angel that spoke to us about you did not talk about speck. Because he was anointed, nobody could challenge him. And he died. He fulfilled his prophecy. He died in his beginning. Where he started from was where he was buried eventually. The story of Samson is a very sad one. Where he was born, where he grew up, was where he was buried. He died in his beginning. He started and finished there. He did not see the deliverance he worked for. Because even while the deliverance was happening, he was blind. If you will not be hurt, I will spew you out of my mouth. And what that means is that if you are not careful, you become exposed to unnecessary spiritual attack. When Satan sees that you are falling out of favor with God, he comes after you and doubles down. Cinderella will call you. I say, you know, that time, it's not like I didn't really like you. It's just that I was not in a good place. I was not in a good place. She was sent to finish what Satan has started. You think your lukewarmness benefits you? Your lukewarmness is the key Satan will use to destroy you. Because when Satan sees that you are falling out of favor with God, he will send Cinderella. And in case you think that you are a lady, you are very holy, you are very righteous, he can send an anointed man. If you think you are so spiritual, nobody can move you, he will send somebody. You think, you may not know. I thank God for your grace, for the grace of God. But have you ever seen $1 million cash like this? $1 million in $100 bills. Please, if you have seen it before, wave to Jesus. I have. I know those money, they are very clean. Dollars. You suddenly become a philosopher when you see those kind of arranged. You know, when I walked in back, they bring it. Sometimes, depending on the transaction, you see 500,000 euros, 300,000 pounds. See, but dollars, you know, 1 million, 2 million, like. If I just carry this one now. If I take it now, straight to Maiduguri.
Nobody.
Your mind will be, the way your mind will be working. You'll be, no, a hiccup. 1 million. I'm not saying 1 million there. I didn't say 10 million. I said $1 million. You see it like this. Huh? You may be righteous, but the spirit of Judas is not far away from you. Jesus says, we must individually. Unfortunately, I may not be able to finish this, so maybe some other time. Jesus said, I must individually make up my mind to be hot. So if I do not, he will need to give my space. The way he said to that shepherd, to that farmer, cut this tree and give the space to another person. So spewing you out means there are other people who have paid the price. He needs to bring them in, into authority. Which is why you may find somebody who is a man of God, and when he begins to play with sin, God will begin to wane. His influence will begin to wane. God will be the one killing that influence. People will think he's on the mountain. He's not on the mountain. Jesus is the one killing the influence deliberately, because exposing him now is a danger to his own agenda. So Jesus will remove the candle from the lampstand, put it back under the bushel. You remember Jesus was saying that parable. He said, no man lights a candle and puts it under a bushel where nobody will see it. But he put it upon the candle stand where all can see it. Huh? Jesus now says, so you make sure that your light shines. So the responsibility is on you. Whether God takes you out from the backyard and bring you out to a place where every man can see you depends on you. If any man shall cleanse himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor. But there's a flip side to that story. If the Lord now places me upon the candlestick and the whole world can see me, and then I now begin to model something separate from what he represents. And he gives me, say like it spoke concerning Jezebel. He said, I gave her time to what? To repent. And she refused to repent. God just said, okay. I was the one who said, no man, I didn't say God, no man can light a candle. But me, I can do it. God will now remove the candle from where everybody can see it. Put it under the bushel so that he can save that man's soul. Sometimes, to save that man's soul, he will allow the church scatter. Sometimes. Because you are no longer safe to be a leader of gospel. So God will prefer to save your soul. If you can make heaven, good for you. These other ones, go to the next church. Because it's God's business. God is not really interested in your ego. He's interested in his own agenda. So you realize that whether you're a Christian who is in business, you're a Christian who is in the IT world, media, whatever, it is the Lord that can take your candle under the table and put it in a place where all men will see you. Your posting online will not do it. Sponsored videos will not do it. Advert will not do it. You can even show video of yourself healing the sick. It will not do it. Until the day Jesus says, it is time. This is my well-beloved son. Hear him. Nobody will hear you. So whatever you are doing, you are laboring for that verdict. Hear him. I said, you are laboring for what? The verdict. So Jesus must come to the place where he says, that's celibate. I increase your authority. And when he says that, no territorial power in that area will be able to stand. Whenever you are there, declare. You can be a housewife and be a territorial power. You can be a carpenter, be a territorial power. You can be a banker, be a territorial power. You can be a pastor and be a territorial power. And you can be a pastor and before God, you are nothing. So let's round up here. There's still so much about this church, but I want you to go back and ask yourself some very major questions. Every time I struggled in my relationship with God, what were the things or items that surfaced? Some of you may realize that some of your friends that you are in the same group, anytime you guys start chatting a lot, your fire starts dwindling. Some of you notice that there are some people you listen to online. Huh? Anytime you listen to them, your fire starts doing. You know, I was talking to my wife. We were just talking while we were coming to church tonight. And I said, Kenneth Hagin said this in his lifetime. He said, if I see your friends and the books you read, I can predict. Pastor, have you read this one? He said, I can predict what your life will look like in 5 years. Are you aware of this Kenneth Hagin comment? Aha. If Kenneth Hagin were to be alive today, what do you think he would have said? He would have said, if I can see the friends you keep and the social media accounts you follow. Does that make sense? So all those secret accounts you open that you are using to comment on rubbish, go and close them. Don't let us take sense also. I say, if you have any, so one of our sisters in church, maybe she's even listening now. Somebody posted something online, like something about LGBT or something. She now commented, this thing is wrong. People should fear God. Should give a life to Christ. They came after her. Come and see the thread. They left the comment. Now went under her own comment. Started building church. See her. I went to check her profile. You are lucky that your face is not there. We will post you everywhere. People will shred you. We are not looking for you here. Now you shall be God, pass. Deputy Jesus, Deputy Holy Spirit. Now you shall be God. They started dragging her. Who are the people dragging her? Ineka, Chidima. Women supporting women, no? Oh. I told her when she came to you, Pastor, see what happened. I said, sorry. I said, but at least you share the gospel with them. She was so sad. She said, Pastor, thank God I used my second account. That I have to say it was her main account that has her faith. They said, where is she? Like, who? Trace her. They were, somebody should trace her. They should bring her picture and post it in the group, in that chat. Let them drag her. So that's the... So if Kenny Tegin was here today, I wonder what he would say. Your destiny is in your hands. Make the decisions while it is day. For the nighttime cometh, where no man can walk. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for tonight. We come against the spirit of lukewarmness. We come against the spirit of lukewarmness. We come against the spirit of lukewarmness. In the name of Jesus. Lord, peradventure, it is the blessings you have given us. Tonight we repent. Lord, whatever represents the instrument through which Satan continues to gain access into our souls, tonight in the name of Jesus, let them be taken away. Lord, we ask that the visitations that you blessed us with on Sunday, you will further extend it in our lives. Amen. We pray for everyone listening, whether they are online or in this assembly now. The same fire you gave to John Knox, the same fire you gave to John Wesley, the same fire that came upon Smith Wigglesworth, the same fire, that fire that cannot be denied. Same fire that came upon Catherine Kuhlman. The fire that came upon Kenneth Hagin. The same fire that you sent, oh God, upon your servant, Pastor E. Adeboye, and upon your servants that have continued to labor in this land. Father, that same fire that fell on the day of Pentecost, let it come upon every heart tonight. Yeah. Let it come upon every heart tonight. Yeah. We receive the grace to love righteousness. Yeah. And to hate iniquity. Yeah. We will no longer be lukewarm. Yeah. Lord, we ask that as we make this decision, you will cause us to grow in authority. Yeah. We pray for all our children that as they continue to grow, they will make the right choices for you. Yeah. You will make them even greater than we are. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Therefore, we ask for the fire of the Holy Spirit upon every heart and every life. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. That, Lord, you will start something new with us. Amen. That, Lord, from today, your fire will be evident. Amen. It will burn brightly. Amen. That your fire will become our signature in the realm of the Spirit. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Therefore, no more room for coldness. Amen. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen and amen. Put your hands together and bless the Lord.